This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined as always by Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Week 6 of The Bachelor. They didn't make us wait. We jumped right into the action of what we thought was the last Mean Girl. Spoiler alert, there are more of them.
Weird.
I know, crazy that you couldn't just get rid of three people and be done with it. But we see MJ and Jesenia battling it out, if you will. Something out of third grade. Like, no, you said it. No, you said it. No, you said it.
It was definitely an elementary school pointing fingers, basically. MJ's like crying in a corner. Because she knows that she's wrong, but she's just not going to admit it. And it's just a whole thing. But rightfully, MJ went home.
Yeah.
Kind of hoping that they would just both go home because Jesenia's not really, quote unquote, a main character. But, you know, MJ went home and that's, I guess that's all that matters in this.
Yeah, it was a good first step for sure. But it was just so weird to see MJ continue to try to say like, oh, no, I'm just for peace and harmony. And then in the same time saying like, oh, that little bitch.
Yeah, so cringy.
I don't know that those things go together.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was apparently just ignoring the fact that, you know, everyone's going to see the show, whether you win or last another couple weeks or whatever it is. Matt's going to see, oh, wow, yeah, she did say all these things and she did lie to me point blank. I mean, just put on. And she even showed that when she's like, oh, I just had a weak bitch moment. Hold on. Like, she's almost in character. I mean, she used the word character a lot, but she was like, yeah. Okay, end scene.
Yeah. And when Jesenia sat down with Matt to talk, I think really all she had to say, which she did say, was that, you know, MJ and Victoria were on the forefront of bullying in the house and the toxicity in the house and everything. And I think that's kind of all he needed to hear to like make up, even though he was like, I'm so conflicted and everything. I think that's really all he needed to hear was the association with Victoria. And then he was like, all right, she needs to go.
Maybe he was just trying to be nice about it, but you know, both of them made really valid points.
What point did MJ make though?
Yeah, and unless you believe her, because it ultimately, unfortunately, it is just a she said, because he can't go back and run the tape back until the season's over. But we're obviously at the advantage of having seen it. But everything she said seemed scripted. It was just, And he did see it because he sent her home. But I don't even know why he would play around with the, oh, valid points and this is difficult. And like, no.
Yeah. She's not a very good actress.
No, please do not quit your day job, whatever that job is, because woof.
Yeah.
You know, Jesenia got the rose and we've seen this in two-on-ones all the time where the person that wins sort of celebrates. And I don't know if that's something to celebrate because the fact that you were in that situation to begin with.
I know you shouldn't be proud of that.
Wasn't really a positive.
I thought after he sent MJ home, I thought that they were both going to end up going home or she wasn't going to get the rose now and she'd have to wait for the ceremony, something like that. Because once he walked MJ out, she was kind of like, they showed her saying, you know, he made the right choice. Like, I'm so glad I'm getting the rose. So I was like, oh yeah, no, she's not getting the rose. They tricked us.
Yeah, exactly. And, but she did, she walks in and sort of surprises the other women, who gave great insight. It's like, well, either one of them's going to be there or neither is going to be there. Like, yes, These are the options that are placed in front of us. So A plus.
That'd be awkward if they both came back.
And you know, something that is becoming very common, you know, everyone's talking about, well, I just need more time. And then surprise, surprise, no one's getting any more time. And we're going right to the rose ceremony.
Don't they know that you're jinxing everything when you say something like that? Don't say it.
Right. And as soon as that happened, this happy, happy, all right, the toxicity's gone, turns to, well, Katie, if you would have never brought this up in the first place, maybe we'd have time to talk to him.
Yeah. It's like these girls can't exist without like something happen, like something dramatic happening. Like Serena C just like went right after Katie, which was so rant. I mean, yeah, Katie did start it a few episodes back by going to Matt and telling him, but like, it's not Katie's fault. Like
no.
She didn't, it's not like she was the bad, you know, the bad person and blaming it on everyone else. And all those people got sent home and she's still here. Like this really has nothing to do with Katie. And because of Katie, you got rid of all those bad people in the house. So why are you, you know, I mean, I understand why they're getting mad at her, but
of course like,
she doesn't deserve it.
But if you're this far in and, you know, we are over halfway in as they're, you know, keep pointing out seemingly three times an episode.
All night long.
Do you really think that if you have three more minutes of him to say like, oh, how are you doing with everything? Oh, how are you doing with everything? That's going to put him over the top of, oh, now I'm going to stay. Because if that's what you're relying on, then chances are you probably have bigger issues.
Yes.
He clearly already knew who he was keeping and who he wasn't keeping. And so yelling at Katie or anybody else because they cost you your 90-second chance to try to more or less beg to stay, you're probably already operating from a very weak position.
Yes. Yeah, it just didn't. I mean, it didn't make sense. I can see why she did it because, like you said, she just wants every second possible with him. But really, it was just petty. And I mean, we could have gone like at least 10 minutes. Like,
yes, right.
With nothing, I mean, but
a little bit of harmony for just a bit before the claws came back out.
Yeah.
And you had Ryan, you know, your namesake has made some noise this year. Mine, not necessarily as much, other than the hoe issue. But for her to say that, you know, she's never been more scared or anxious in her life.
You're on the wrong show. Like, these people don't understand. Like, what are you doing if you can't handle stress, anxiety, and seeing your boyfriend with someone else? Like,
well, in this case, she was.
Why are you here?
Like, that's bad enough, the people who freak out over seeing it. But for her, it was, I guess at this point, whether she was just going to have enough time to see him and get to stay. Well, like, that's the most scared you've been in your life for someone that you've known for a week and a half.
I guess you've had a pretty good life, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this season has given us so many just amazing overreactions, and that's relative to this universe. I'm not even saying in real life. I mean, just the things we see season to season, they're just blowing it up 10 times. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there were really any surprises at the rose ceremony. I mean, I guess the fact that Brittany went home just because they did sort of have a really.
Yeah, she was at the forefront for a while of the brunt of the drama. But I honestly didn't even realize it was her until I looked it up after, because I did look up that it was just the three of them. But Brittany, I was like, wait, who is that? And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, right. The person whose life was almost ruined. Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ryan, who, you know, must have been too scared and anxious to stick around.
Yeah.
And Maggie, who, I mean, I guess there just wasn't a connection, but she always seemed kind of cool.
She was fun. She was fun to watch. But, yeah, there was definitely no connection.
And that has us down to 11-ish. And ish. We say the ish because of Heather, but you know, somehow, and I don't know whether it's just this season, maybe I'm forgetting it, that getting to 11 is, oh, let's talk about hometowns. Does this seem a little early to be like, oh my God, we could really be going to hometown soon?
It was. I forget who mentioned it first. I think maybe Katie. But I was just like, oh wait, hometowns are coming up soon. And then I was like, wait, no, there's like still like 20 people left.
But I think even Chris mentioned it in one of his sort of soliloquies about how, you know, things are getting more serious, is, you know, we're only a couple weeks from hometowns and overnight dates. And we're like, it's probably a little early to mention.
We got
fantasy
a lot of
suites.
Cutting to do.
Right. And, but the women ran with that. And it just, I don't know if I'm just not remembering properly, but I don't think I've ever heard us be talking about hometowns when we're at 11.
Yeah.
Maybe
no, I don't
12.
Think so. I don't think so. This was extremely early. And I was like, wait, am I missing something? Like, did 8 people just get sent home last? Like insane. A few minutes ago, but it's a little early for that, but I guess you got to start thinking about it at some point,
I guess.
Or maybe they're hoping that it would like scare some people off.
Well, that's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Maybe that's what got Ryan all freaked out and having the anxiety rising to a different level is because, oh my God, I'm thinking about hometowns. I didn't even think about that. It could be like psychological warfare.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem to bother anyone, at least in this episode, but I feel like we're going to get some pretty heavy downfalls.
You know, and before we even get to sort of the next day, sort of like you said before, we couldn't have 10 minutes with peace. You had, okay, we're on the next day. Let's get the date cards going. You know, Piper's getting a one-on-one date and, Serena is still all up in arms about Katie mentioning the toxicity and bullying and thing. And so they have this ridiculous screaming match.
Yeah.
That was completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Like, why didn't this full conversation happen last night?
Right.
Like, why are you bringing it into the morning? And it's escalating. It's just not needed. Please.
And I'm with Katie here because she's basically getting yelled at. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were coming up here to apologize to me. And so that we could all sort of sing Kumbaya together and move on past this ridiculous sniping. But instead, it's just now we're going to go back to that where we're just calling everybody names and talking behind their back. And because that's as soon as Serena left, she just went running to the other girls to say, oh, guess what Katie said? And then lied about what she said.
With Katie right there.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, there's no need for you to whisper. And she says, oh, well, I was just telling them how you said you're not here for Matt. I'm sorry. When did I say that?
Again, roll the tapes back.
Yeah. And I don't know whether she figures, okay, well, the top three are gone, meaning the top mean girls. So no one will suspect me if I decide to just start making things up.
Yeah, but don't do it in that situation. Like, she's right there.
It just seems so weird. And to be this far in and at the same time away, because there are 11 people, but now to be attacking people for not being here for the right reasons. I mean, I think we weeded out most of those people.
Yeah, you would think. We thought so.
Yeah, and listen, I've been very clear that do I think Kit is really ready to get engaged, not because of her age, but just
no
because of I know exactly, so I don't really even have to qualify it, but in general the very obvious people who you're like, okay, we know why they're here, they're mostly gone now. Unless Serena is another one of those people, because you don't usually try to rile things up unless you're feeling like, okay, I could be next.
Yeah.
And you're looking for a way to just last 1 week longer.
Yeah.
And it's just so bizarre. And so, well, while we're talking about bizarre, we might as well, before we get to the date. So a minivan drives up to the hotel because, of course, it's a minivan.
Obviously.
And Heather's there, who was on Colton's season.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess leads to the first question, which is worse? Is it worse to be have listed as your occupation never been kissed or Colton season?
Yeah. Or never been kissed from Colton season.
So I mean, maybe she realized, hey, my Bachelor Nation experience couldn't be any worse. So why don't I drive up in a minivan and demand in the middle of a pandemic to try to break the Bachelor bubble?
Which that was the worst security guard I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so if any of us drive up, we can say, "Hey, can I talk to Chris Harrison?" And he'll come out and we can have a chat.
He's like, "No, we're closed to the public." And then she's like, "But is there any way?" And he's like, "Oh, okay. Hold on, let me call someone."
Well, if you ask if there's any way, I mean, oh, let me get on the horn.
And then all of a sudden, Chris Harrison just appears. I guess that's all we have to do. We should go.
And he wasn't wearing a mask at first, the security guy. It was once everyone, the cameras and Chris Harrison were coming, "Oh, well, I better put a mask on now." Because this person who wasn't in the bubble was just 3 feet from me. So that's great. Because
probably no one tries to go there.
No, of course not.
He doesn't need a mask because he doesn't see anyone.
And Chris comes out and, I mean, Chris, to you have to say, "Oh, I have to, you know, basically run it up the flagpole because I can't make that decision." Like, you're the producer of the show. Of course
you're you're the top of the flagpole.
Like, of course you can make the decision. I understand it makes it better for drama. And, you know, we want to make this the most dramatic season ever.
Yeah.
But you can actually, quite literally make the decision right on the spot of, "Oh yeah, why don't you just start quarantining in our hotel now," as opposed to sending her back to her Motel 6 or whatever before bringing her back to the resort. It was very bizarre. The whole thing was bizarre, but especially the way he handled it of sending her away just to bring her back.
Yeah, go back to your hotel room and we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
Okay.
He knew clearly that he was going to bring her to quarantine anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if they didn't have somewhere to park the minivan or what was happening, but I didn't understand sending her away back to her own hotel room when you could just start the quarantine process.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would love to know the timeline, because clearly it was not real time with what we were seeing story-wise, because like he said, it's going to be at least a multiple day thing. And when we talked to Jared, you know, he said he had to quarantine for 5 days and get a test each day. So.
Right. So when was this? Yeah.
It was at least a week prior, because the story was not 5 days of what we were watching from when they cut in to the date card to going on a date. So.
Right. So can you can imagine that it was probably with all the Victoria stuff and Matt, Heather would have been eaten alive. Well, I mean, it looks like she will be anyway. But
yeah, this is the B level mean girls.
Yeah, and these are the good people. So it'll be interesting to see. It would be interesting to know the timeline.
Right, exactly. And interesting to know a lot of things, because she claims to be one of Hannah's best friends. And I mean, we've seen them together, so we know they're friends. But yeah. if they were the best friends, A, why didn't she join the quarantine crew?
Right.
So that she could have met him before he was the Bachelor. You know, yeah. Notice now it's like, oh, Hannah thinks he'd be perfect for me, but so perfect that she waited to send you to try to break the Bachelor bubble and not just bring you into her own bubble.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
And number two, why not just wait? Because you're friends with her and she's friends with his friends. So there's obviously that connection. Like, hey, let's see if maybe he's a month in or however many long in. Let's just see if this works out. And if it doesn't, then you can actually get introduced to him, you know, not in front of 10 million people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, I don't know why. But it's funny because when she did show up, like, he knew right away. Like, yeah, he was like, well, oh, Heather.
Yes. And
his
reaction. Yeah. Well, that's – so his reaction, he obviously knew who she was, like you said. Mm-hmm. But to laugh, it's the nervous laugh for a little bit is one thing, but for him to like full out like belly laugh at yeah. seeing her, I don't know how you can spin that positively.
I don't either. Unless it was, at first I took it as more as like, oh, what else can they honestly throw at me at this point?
Okay, that's fair.
And then that's why he kind of just like lost it. That's how I took it. I was like, this poor guy, like he gets mean girls. He gets five new girls. He gets the OGs with the new girls. Like he can't catch a break.
Okay. No, I'll go with that. I like that, especially considering what must be going through his mind each time.
Well, because any other way, it would just be like rude for him to laugh like that.
And that's where my head was at. But yeah. I can see that, especially since he must be like the wheels are spinning. Like, wait, am I just doing that terrible of a job that they have to keep like throwing in these wrenches, which usually there's like one a season. Now we've had like six.
Yeah. Like, are these girls like, is no one going to end up with me?
And so ultimately she ends up walking through what's going to be a rose ceremony cocktail hour. And a lot of people had an issue with how she entered and the fact that she just walked past everybody and right to Matt. Personally, I don't think she owes them anything to stop and do like a full introduction, but maybe that's just me because everybody else seemed to say like, well, she didn't help herself out any by just walking right to Matt. I'm like,
yeah,
she's supposed to. Well, I also think
like it was a producer's thing that said like, no matter what, just go right to Matt. And then,
because
obviously that starts something right off the bat. So that's eventually what they want is conflict.
Because what you have is someone like Piper, who more or less, I think, has seemed pretty even keel, running out of that room saying, what the, and talking about how,
which I thought it was funny with her, because she's like, I haven't gotten any time, blah, blah, blah. I was like,
and she's holding a rose.
One-on-one.
And she's holding a rose.
She's like, this week I haven't gotten a lot of time with him. And like, you just had a whole date.
Yeah, I can't process how, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, these women who are like on a whole nother level this year of just ramping things up. Like,
About the most dramatic season, honestly.
But produced drama, and I don't even mean from the producers of the show, like in their head. Like,
yeah.
You just put it perfectly. Piper had a one-on-one and a rose. And then we just had one-on-one time in a cocktail hour, and she's screaming about how she never had any time.
Yeah,
it's just, it's so much, it just seems so much more than most years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's recency bias or, you know, and it's always like this.
I think it's the quarantining. you're just quarantined and you just got to come out guns blazing,
I guess. And so we're going to see next week, you know, we'll get to the dates in a second, obviously, but with just to close the book on Heather is, at least for me, it seems like deja vu all over again. You know, she gets introduced to these women and it's sort of like throwing chum out to sharks, and just everybody starts attacking her as if none of them learned anything from what they just went through.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because the defender, and we'll get to it, is gone, but it's just so terrible. And again, maybe the editing makes it seem worse than it is, but it seems pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
So listen, I don't love Heather. Like, she's fine. But when the guy you're trying to potentially marry just made a very strong statement about, hey, this isn't what I'm looking for in someone, you know, how they treat other people, if it's that negative, that's not what I'm looking for. And then you immediately just do exactly that.
Yeah.
Not a great sign, but I don't know if you had anything else on Heather, but I thought we would close Heather's book before we get to the dates.
Yes. Nothing left of this week for her.
So we'll see. But, you know, the dates start with Piper in a one-on-one who, you know, had no time with him all week.
Yeah, nothing.
And, you know, gets driven out to the middle of the woods in pitch dark. And obviously, if there weren't cameras with you, you're thinking, oh, is he going to kill me? This is great. And then
you could have just sent me home.
And then it's a very classic. It's a carnival. Which even pre-COVID had always been a very, very popular bachelorette date.
I mean, I feel like it's fun and it's also like pretty easy to pull off. So you get to see like someone's, you know, like their fun side and playing games and going rides. I would be sick. I was getting sick watching the date. But good for them. They seemed like they had fun. I'm not sure I really see a connection. And this was another one where this random girl Piper came out and said, I'm falling in love with you. So he's just bringing it out, I think, in everyone who has a date with him. But yeah, I mean, it was a good date. I don't see her in the end, but it was okay. Yeah, I mean, they found a common ground of, you know, they don't like to let people in and open up. And she talks about her relationship with her mom a little bit, which is good. Like, I like her. I don't see her at the end, I don't think.
Right. Yeah. No, I think I have her a little higher on my list than you do, but not that much. And I think you're dead on with all of that. I do want to point out, though, you know, if this were your date and you said, you know, if you were getting sick just watching it, you also were getting sick watching The Weeknd walking through his hall of mirrors.
Yeah, that was not good.
So I would imagine just seeing any of those rides as they're going, you know, spinning in circles, you're like, ah.
I'd be like, can we not?
We just play the water.
I would definitely be sent home.
We're just going to play the water gun race, because otherwise, I remember, you know, when Nick and what's her name did the G-force and she puked. Like, what do you mean?
Vanessa.
Vanessa.
I was just going to bring that up. I was like, I've never related more to a date than that one.
But it's always easy to do. And it's certainly a soft landing spot for someone when you get that date. And yeah. It wasn't until dinner where they sort of dug into the very typical, like you were saying, it was like, I don't let anybody in. Like, well, okay, what better time than with millions of people watching? All right. Yeah. And gets the rose, like falling in love with you. Okay. If you'll notice, Matt did not return it this time, which so far, if my count is correct, it's still just with Rachel is the only person as people just start throwing this at him.
Yeah, and like that's another thing that seems every early. One-on-one date, I think, so far.
And again, is it recency bias? I don't know. It seems early that at 11, you have everyone throwing that they're falling in love with him. But so far, he's only returned it to one.
Well, like we said, I mean, like these people are just like really just out of the blue, like from the large group. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm falling in love with you. And like, he's probably like, wait, like, what's your name again? But this is very, very early, I think, for all of this time.
But it works. She gets the rose, even if he doesn't reciprocate. And, you know, he said, I'll continue to be open with my feelings, and didn't reciprocate. So that probably should be a little telling. And then they have a private performance with Temecula Road, who I know you're familiar with. I know the name just because I've seen them around, but I could not have told you any, like, you could have played me five songs and I wouldn't have been able to pick out the Temecula Road song.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely knew like the name, but I'm not, I wouldn't be able to sing along to any of the songs.
And you're a country girl. So like, come on now. I was giving you advance credit.
I knew who they were, though.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, that much I knew. And it's a little, I mean, I guess you can only get certain people to quarantine and play, and you know, hopefully they don't break up like the listen to your heart people that did it.
Yeah. Ugh.
And this leads us into the group date. And more drama when it should just be reading a group date. So basically you have everyone saying like, oh my God, I don't want to be on the group date. I don't want to be on the group date. I need to be the one-on-one. And then you have Serena who's saying, oh my God, it better not be Katie, which tells us all, who's it going to be? It's going to be Katie. And Serena.
It's still mind boggling to me that there's two Serenas, but okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, exactly. So we're down to 11 and two of the 11 are Serena. So that's pretty cool. And so you have people like Serena C talking about how, oh my God, I haven't had a one-on-one. This is devastating. Like, but you're still there, you know, and she sort of dropped the bomb on her own idea later, but Abigail put it perfectly. She's like, I'm not going to I can't control what dates I go on, but I can control like, hey, our time together and what we talk about. And I'm like, wow, that's really advanced for the show.
Yeah.
Of not freaking out when you're not picked for something. And she then later has a complete meltdown over it when she doesn't get time. But the first half of her argument I really liked, and I was very impressed with. The fact that I've been so impressed with her multiple times, I was thinking, all right, this is what I want to hear from her. But then she sort of threw it all out the window when she started breaking down because, you know, oh my God, I'm not going to get any time. It's like,
yeah, it's getting the best of the best.
Like you're here. It's clearly something's still going right.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it's the end of the world. I'm not on the one-on-one, but need to talk about this group date because in the age of COVID, and I understand we're in a bubble, so fine. But even in a bubble, because now that we're thinking about germs in a different way, to have a bowling date where everyone's they're putting on shoes that a million other people have worn, and you're putting your fingers in bowling balls that a million other people have used. And I understand this has all been sanitized, but still, it doesn't make it. And then, what are we eating? A bunch of finger foods. In the age of, like, even if we were a year ago, before the world shut down, we probably wouldn't process it the same way, but it'd still be gross. But in the age of COVID.
I mean, the food probably didn't matter because they don't eat.
Of course. But the optics of it.
Everything, yeah. Mm-mm.
Like, hey, guys, we're all going to stick our fingers in different balls. And,
when you think, like, about before COVID, like how disgusting really everything was. no one sanitized their hands like ever. I mean, most people would wash your hands, but like
a year and 3 months ago, we had a work event at a bowling alley. And guess who wasn't sanitizing their hands after every time sticking your hand into these random balls?
Yep.
All of us. Like no one was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like just wasn't a thing. Like that means like everything was really like pretty disgusting.
Like, hey, I just threw this random bowling ball that five other people probably used. Now let me go finish this cheeseburger.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like you would just, you wouldn't think you just, that's what you do, but like you weren't considered like a disgusting person. Like it's just what it was.
Oh, so in this disgusting date,
all better off with more sanitizing.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And, silver lining. Hey, we now know to use sanitizer.
We all know to wash our hands more.
But of course we had to turn this into a competition and not a sanitizing competition.
No.
And so you have people who all of a sudden, you know, for the first half hour, were like, haha, I don't know how to bowl. This is so cute. They're like, oh, wait, the team that gets the most pins down is going to win. Oh, wow, I just threw a strike. I don't know how that happened.
Like, strike.
Like, oh, wow, I don't know how. And, you know, Matt plays into her like, ooh, they made a great comeback. It's like, yeah, because they were fine before. Yes,
now we don't have to act dumb.
Well, they're not trying to get you to like, oh, can you help me on my form? It's like, oh, we're going to the after party?
Yeah.
Okay. I was
professional in, bowlers now.
Yeah. Like my father was in the professional bowling league. Did you not know that?
Yeah.
And this was one of the weaker things that this show does. And we see it every so often. You have winners and losers. Mm-hmm. And the losers even tried to talk their way in, and he held his ground. And he said, nope. You know, because I think it was a kid or someone was trying to say like, oh, but we get to come with you, right? He's like, nope, I'm sticking with it. It's just the four of us. And he held his ground. He held his ground. And then not only did he invite them like mid tiers, so they're all bitching back at the hotel.
Yeah.
But then he does it without telling the other women.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
He turned into everyone gets a trophy. Let's everyone join the date. Let's create more drama because I don't like drama. So let's create more for myself.
Yeah. I mean, this guy played athletics at the highest level that you can, you know, at the college level. And for him to be part of that everyone gets a trophy group, a little disappointing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You know, not a deal breaker. You know, still team matchler, but
of course
lost a few points there, buddy. Again, I think Tyler probably would have agreed with him. You know, if you're going to get counsel from him, we'll get to Tyler. We haven't gotten there yet. I'm sure he would have been like, bro, what are you doing? Like they lost, send him home.
At least he said though, like when they showed up, they were like, oh, actually I invited them. Like at least he wasn't like, oh, what are you doing here?
I think I might have actually appreciate more just because it would have been so savage to do that.
Yeah.
I'm still wrong, but I don't know. I think I would have appreciated it more than.
Well, you knew something was going to happen because the winning team was finally getting ready for like their little cocktail party, and they're like, "Oh, I'm so glad it's like a small group. We're going to get a lot of time." You should have known.
Yeah, of course, and you know. People still, all they do is talk about not having time, and it's getting even worse now because Chelsea used her time. And again, time, you know, drink, bingo card, whatever, but complaining about, I don't have enough time. And then when she got time with him, she complained with him about not having time.
Yeah. Like,
so
what are you doing?
I don't, you know, besides making a lot of people drunk, I just don't know how you think that's going to get you to, again, hometowns or overnights.
Yeah.
There's no.
It's not.
And they made out in the hallway, so he clearly wasn't upset about it.
Yeah.
But it just, how are you advancing any sort of relationship when it's, you sit down and the first thing you want to say is, so I know we haven't had a lot of time.
Yeah. You're not helping yourself.
That's just as bad as complaining about other people when you sit down and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I don't know. The group date rose went to
Michelle,
which then you had all these people who are on highs immediately crash down again because, of course, we talk about validation drink is if I don't get the rose, then, oh, my God, why am I even here? Like, everything can't be. There are 11 people. You can't just everything. Everyone's not going to get
everything. Everyone thinks it's just them.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to we had the best one-on-one maybe that we've seen of the season.
Yeah.
And that is Matt and Tyler's one-on-one.
Yes.
They had a very romantic round of pool.
Their bromance is just another level. And it is amazing. I love it so much.
It is totally another level, and I appreciate that Matt, the first thing he says when, you know, hey, I have a one-on-one coming up with Katie, she was the one that brought the cactus-sized vibrator. I like that he led with the vibrator and in the conversation. And
that Tyler already knew, basically.
It's like, oh, yeah. That's
her.
One. But then at the same time, he said, well, it's not, you know, there's more to her than that. And, you know, spoiler alert, must not have been. But I don't know that other than getting to see Tyler, I don't know that he gave him a ton to talk about, because he even said, like, oh, I wish I could talk to him before every date. One, I don't know that he gave you any great feedback. Two, I mean, couldn't you? I mean, what else is he really
stopping you?
Yeah, what is he possibly doing? Like, you could live together and just, you know.
And he's part of the Bachelor world. So, like, you could use Tyler in every episode and no one would get mad about it.
Oh,
like,
absolutely,
it's not like a random friend.
No, like, the dude's on the show for 30 seconds and he takes his clothes off. So, I mean, like, well, we're good. But then he said, oh, I've seen this work out for Tyler. When did it work out for Tyler? At any point? Like, it isn't even one of these, like, it worked out for Ben and then he broke up and whatever, like, but it worked out at the time. Like, he wasn't picked.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't even picked the second time around, although that seemed more to be his issue than Hannah's.
Well, yeah.
But he, how did it work out for him?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
very confusing.
They gained another best friend of Hannah. I don't know.
But he invites him to his one-on-one date with Katie. And I don't know if that's a bad sign right away for if you're Katie, like, hey, you know, we need to see where this relationship's going. So we're going to go to the spa, but instead of getting a spa day, we're just going to basically do a punked on my best friend.
Yeah.
Who's better looking than me.
Have fun.
And I mean,
well, I think they should, when she showed up at the spa, like, she was getting, like, really excited. She's like, oh, perfect. Like, a spa day, but no, you're not getting anything.
Yeah. And
a we're lot just of sitting people, in a closet, like, talking to a masseuse.
And the thing I saw pop up the most during the massage, and, you know, they got the little earpiece in and making them do funny things, was, you know, Katie's very sex positive, and oh my God, the first thing she did was, while he, you know, without his consent, had this woman, like, rubbing his nipples.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm the first to understand that's very different with a, you know, you want to call it double standard or whatever, fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you would not have this reversed and be doing that.
No, obviously, you would not.
Obviously not. But I did not, watching that, it was weird, but I didn't think, like, oh my God, she's violating him, or, like, I don't know. Is that just, like, internet needs something to be mad at?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just saw it as a funny prank. Like, I wasn't upset. I wasn't in an uproar about it. I thought it was really funny when she called her and the masseuse was like, oh, it's Tyler from Hannah's season. Like, that was really funny.
Okay. I just was making sure that I wasn't missing something, because I, you know, I'm laughing at it. It's funny. And then I understand Twitter's the place where people go to yell about things. I get it. But I'm seeing multiple people get upset with her for, oh my God, you rubbed his nipples without consent. And I'm like, listen, I'm number one consent.
No, like, obviously it's 100% like wrong if it was the other way around.
Right. But even just in general, like, consent as a whole, like, I get it. Like, you're never going to go over too much. But in this case, I just,
like, it was like, you knew that this was a prank. Like, this was the purpose of the date.
Yeah. And like you said, the best part was
I didn't see anything.
Okay.
I'm with it.
Glad I'm not totally crazy. But the phone call is the best part, because he still doesn't totally figure it out. I mean, he does lift his head up.
Like, oh my God, like, this is, like, so weird. I need to get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's probably thinking, oh man, I'm going to get, like, a free month of stays post COVID out of this, because I'm going to talk to the manager and I'm going to say, like, listen, this person was, like, on the phone bragging about having me on their table.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, it's this fun date. They're having a good time. And then.
And I also thought it was funny. She's like, oh, what brings you here? Like, it's close to the public. Like, you know, oh, my best friend's the Bachelor. Oh, cool.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Like, what brings you here? Like, you obviously either work here or.
And I don't think people that work there are getting massages.
Well, and you know that he doesn't work there because you supposedly know who he is. So.
The thing I did, and again, having a problem with, is probably a little strong, but the whole dinner section here was weird to me, because by all accounts, everything was going fine. Like, she talked about what he wanted to talk about. everything.
And he even said he was like, this is, you know, this is she's the perfect person for this date. Like, we're having so much fun. And then it literally just switched at some point, which was weird.
Totally. I mean, to talk about how much they've grown and, you know, just to have appreciated how you've had, you know, this impact on the other women in the house, even picks up the rose.
Yeah.
And says, but, and then, you know, I can't give you this.
Yeah, like maybe he didn't know until, like, the date went well and then something just switched and was like, you know, I do have stronger connections back at the house, but it's not like it was one of those awkward dates where like they didn't talk. Like she fit in with Tyler and him and probably his group of friends. I don't know. It was a weird switch that was just like, no, actually you're not the one.
Yeah. It just at no point from the patented jump when they met each other outside the spa to that moment, are you thinking like, oh, well, this isn't working?
Yeah, because sometimes we get those one-on-one dates that, like, sometimes it doesn't even last until the dinner. But, like it's just silence and no one really talks. They're like, oh, the weather's nice today. Like, stuff like that. But I thought it was a great date.
Yeah, I was very, very confused. And I did sort of catch on the way out where she said, I saw a future with Tyler and his friends. And I understand. Listen, I get what she was trying to say. Like,
yeah.
Us with Tyler and his friends. But yes. It's like, I mean, if I saw Tyler, you know, pretty much naked, I mean, it would probably be top of my mind as well.
Well, yeah.
But it just, that was the most confusing part about this. And there's a lot of confusing things that happened in these 2 hours.
Yeah,
but that stopped with me because, like, sure, they don't clearly have that sort of fire, if you will, mm-hmm. that he's had with a lot of these women. But you think she's 11 of 11?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I would have gotten rid of, I think, Serena C or Kit before her. But
I mean, at the very least.
But she needs time to prepare for being the Bachelorette. So.
I mean, that might be a conversation for a different day because I don't know. Like, Katie's done a lot of things right, but is Katie the Bachelorette?
No, she's not.
Right? Okay, good. We'll dig deeper into that later once we have a better feel for, you know, these final 10. But it was just, I still don't know how to totally wrap my head around that. It'll be interesting to hear from him because I'm sure Katie's going to be at the center of the women tell all for other reasons. But I'm hoping when they have their one-on-one time, if they get it, just sort of his thought process, because everything's great. Like everything's great.
Yeah. Like at what point did it switch? I don't know.
Yeah. Like you went from, oh my God, this is perfect to, yeah, never mind. Can I walk you out?
He didn't even like stop her when she, cause she talked about a 3-year relationship she had and he just wasn't the one, which, you know, whatever. It's like a common dinner conversation, I guess. But then she goes into, you know, I'm committed until the end. Like, if you are, like, I'm here, I want to do this. And then he's like, I can't give you this rose.
Maybe she should have gone the other way and be like, yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really liking the room service here. So if you
then
could
he would have been like, okay, I'll keep you. Here's the rose.
Yeah. I mean, just so bizarre. But he even went on when she did leave, like, oh, never a question of how awesome she is. And she's so incredible, but not incredible enough to make the final 10, apparently. I don't know. And then the worst part about it, other than her going, was you knew Serena was basically going to do backflips when they came and picked up.
Yeah, I was actually expecting a little bit more of a reaction from her, but she was probably just like, okay, this girl's gone. Like, now I can focus on myself, I guess, whatever that is.
Well, because half of them did the shocked / crying, which I never totally got because, again, you do want people to go home, even though apparently you can't say that. But in like a good-natured way, not in a
I think you just assumed that she was going to stay. Like, they had a good conversation. I mean, they had a good connection, you know, most
and he trusts her, clearly.
Yeah, yeah, clearly there's more of more trust there than most of the other people because that's how everything got started. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I was expecting Serena to be more, give more of a reaction, I think.
The peak sound though, when they saw the, it running away or the, you know, rolling away, the, you know, there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
More than you normally see. And I'm like,
yeah.
And I think this is a good precursor for what we see in the coming attractions is just all it does is give them free reign. Cause they're like, oh, well, who's going to tell on us now? And then 2 minutes later, you know, not 2 minutes, but whatever later when Heather makes her appearance, it's like, oh, we're just going to destroy this woman because.
Yeah. Cause now we don't have someone to tell on us.
Yeah, no one here is going to tell us to stop. And, you know, just immediately, I mean, from Serena to Jesenia, even Chelsea, who it wasn't as mean, but basically saying like, oh, if you pick her, you better marry her. As if like, okay, like, yes, your month is so much more important. But we just got done with this and now it's all just flying back and maybe it allows him to do another purge and we get rid of 3 or 4 more again, which I'd be fine with.
And then it's hometowns. Maybe it's closer than we think.
I guess. I mean, so if we're at just say 11, because let's assume Heather is part of it. Okay. 3 to 8, 3 to 5, at least 3 more weeks though. I mean, and that's if you do 3 each time.
Yeah.
That's not exactly around the corner. I mean, for them to be talking about it at a minimum 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Woof. And before we get to the other things that you may have, I want to note that Demi, was very clear that if anyone comes after Heather, Demi is coming for you. And to put it precisely... No, she said that she is a precious angel, one of the happiest people she's ever met. And so if you're mean to her, don't think you're just going to be able to get away with it and move on, do a faux apology, because Demi will be there because you know Demi's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
She will be in this franchise of some way or another for
time. You don't want her coming after you.
You don't want this smoke. And so just... I hope you weren't too over the top with going after her because Demi's got her eyes on you. Yes. So we will see what happens next week. And in the meantime, is there anything else non-matchler related going on?
Not much this week. They resumed their casting for seniors. So if you know any seniors looking for love, they can apply.
Did it say an age by any chance? Like, are we thinking just 65 plus or?
I think it was either 60 or 65 plus. So anyone in that age range, if you know, sign
up. My father's 80. Do you think?
I'm sure they would love 80. And I'm so curious to like see this show and I can't wait for whenever it comes out. Cause I'll
Dad,
be
Dad, I know you really have been looking forward to getting out of the house. You know, you got your vaccine.
I have an opportunity for you.
got your vaccine appointment coming up. So I'm thinking.
Dad tweets like
he's
all over social media.
He likes his Facebook.
Yeah. See.
And so I'm thinking maybe he could be the next elderly bachelor star.
Oh man. Okay. And then. And less exciting news, I guess. Kelly and Peter were seen reunited down in Tampa for Super Bowl weekend.
As if the Super Bowl couldn't get any worse.
because obviously COVID no longer exists. So they were clubbing together down in Tampa. And he was doing some a celebrity flag football event down there.
Of course.
And then that night they were seen at a club with friends. So
yeah, watching the scenes from Tampa and not even just the Super Bowl game, that was hard enough for me to watch.
Yeah.
But these scenes on the street were just, and I didn't even see any of the clubs, but just people mm-hmm. walking shoulder to shoulder, no masks, down these streets in Tampa just made me want to flip. Like, and I understand Florida's like a different world. Apologies.
Well, it doesn't exist in Florida, so you're
fine. Yeah, apparently COVID doesn't exist there, but oh my God. It's like, be better. Like, what was Sweetenham saying? Yeah. I mean, geez.
Crazy. But but yeah, they're not together, but they're supposedly working on their relationship. So.
Oh God. Great.
Good for Pilot Pete.
Well, the Matchler continues. The mean girlness, unfortunately, continues. We will catch up on all of it next week. Katie, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.
At Bachelor Podcast on all socials, and we will see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.